Nick, second floor. My stepmother has called us all to order. We're sitting upstairs in the penthouse apartment, a dysfunctional little family conference. Like the one we'd been going to have last night, before Jess turned up unannounced and set the cat among the pigeons. I was always a keen student of English idioms. We have a French one like it, actually. Jeter un pavé dans la mare, throw a paving stone in the pond. And maybe that's a more accurate description of what happened when she arrived here. She has displaced everything. I look at the others. Antoine knocking back the wine. He might as well have picked up the whole bottle. Mimi white-faced and looking ready to bolt from the room. Sophie sitting rigid and expressionless. She's not looking quite herself, my stepmother. I can't work out what's different about her at first. Her shining black bob doesn't have a strand out of place. Her silk scarf is knotted expertly at her throat. But there's something off. Then it hits me. She's not wearing lipstick. I don't know if I've ever seen her without it. She looks diminished somehow, older, frailer, more human. Antoine speaks first. That stupid little cunt is at the club. He turns to me. Still suggest we do nothing, little bro. I think the important thing is we all pull together, I say. A united front as a family. That's the most important thing. We can't fall apart now. But I realize, looking at their faces, that they're all unknown quantities to me. I don't feel like I know these people, not really. I was away for so long, and we're all so estranged from one another that we don't look and feel like the real thing, even to one another. Yes, because you've been such a key player in this family up until now, Antoine says, making me feel even more of an imposter, a fraud. He gestures towards Sophie. And you're not going to catch me playing the adoring stepson to that salope. Hey, I say, let's just... Watch your mouth, Sophie says caustically, turning to Antoine. You're sitting in my apartment. Ooh, it's your apartment, is it? He gives a mock bow. I'm so sorry, I hadn't realized. I thought you were just a parasite living off Papa's money. I didn't know you'd earned any of it yourself. I was only 8 or 9 when Papa married the mysterious new woman who had materialized in our lives, but Antoine was older, a teenager. Maman had been an invalid for so long, languishing in her rooms on the 3rd floor. This newcomer seemed so young, so glamorous. I was a little besotted. Antoine took it rather differently. He's always had it in for her. Just stop it, Mimi says suddenly, her hands over her ears. All of you, I can't take any more. Antoine turns to Mimi with a horrible smile on his face. Nah. He slurs at her now. And as for you, well, you're not really part of this family, are you? Ma petite sœur. Stop that, Sophie says to Antoine, her voice ice cold, the lioness protecting her cub. At her feet, the whippet startles and gives a sharp bark. Oh, I think she can give as good as she gets, Antoine says. What about all that stuff at her school with the teacher? Papa had to make a pretty hefty donation and agree to remove her to keep that one quiet. But perhaps it's no surprise, huh? He turns to Mimi. When you consider where she comes from. Don't you dare speak to her like that, Sophie says. Her tone is dangerous. I glance over at Mimi. She's just sitting there staring at Antoine, her face even paler than usual. Okay, I say. Come on, let's all just... And can I just say, Antoine says, that it's just typical that our darling père has decided to fuck off for all of this, isn't it? All of us glance instinctively at the portrait of my father on the wall. I know it must be my imagination or a trick of the light, but it looks as though his painted frown has deepened slightly. I shiver. Even when he's miles away, you can still feel his presence in this apartment somehow. His authority. The all-seeing, all-powerful Jacques Meunier. Your father, Sophie says to Antoine now sharply, has his own business to be taken care of. As you well know, it would only complicate things further if he returns. We must all hold the fort for him in his absence.
What a surprise he's not here when the shit hits the fan!
Antoine gives a laugh, but there's no humor in it. He trusts you to be able to handle the situation on your own, Sophie says. But perhaps that is simply too much to ask. Look at you. You're a 40-year-old man still living under his roof, leeching off his money. He has given you everything. You've never had to grow up. You've had everything handed to you by your father on a silver platter. You're both useless hothouse flowers, too weak for the outside world, unable to fly the nest. That stings. For God's sake, she says, show your father some respect.
Oh, yeah?
Antoine gives her a nasty smile.
Are you really going to talk to me about respect?
Putain. The last word hissed under his breath. How dare you speak to me like that? She rounds on him, a surge of real anger breaching the icy facade.
Oh, how dare I?
Antoine gives her a sly-looking grin. Vraiment? Really? He turns to me.
You know what she is? You know what our very elegant stepmother really is? You know where she comes from?
I've had my suspicions. As I grew older, they grew too. But I've barely even allowed myself to think them, let alone voice them aloud, for fear of my father's wrath. Antoine stands up and walks out of the room. A few moments later, he comes back carrying something in a large frame. He turns it around so that all of us can see it. It's a black and white photograph, a large nude, the one from my father's study. Put that back, says Sophie, her voice dangerous. Her hands are clenched into fists. She looks over at Mimi, who is sitting stock still, her eyes wide and scared. Antoine sits back in the chair, looking pleased with himself, propping the photograph beside him like a child's science project.
Look at her, he says, gesturing to the image, then at Sophie. Hasn't she done well? The Hermès scarves, the trench coats, une vraie bourgeoise. You'd never know it, would you? You'd never know that she was really a...
A crack, loud as a pistol shot. It happens too quickly to understand what's going on. She moved so fast. Then Antoine is sitting there holding his hand to his face, and Sophie is standing over him.
She hit me,
Antoine says. But his voice is small and scared as a little boy's. It isn't the first time he's been hit like this. Papa was pretty free with his fists, and Antoine, the eldest, seemed to get the worst of it.
She fucking hit me.
He takes his hand away, and we all see the mark of her hand on his cheek, the imprint of it a livid pink. Sophie continues to stand over him. Think what your father would say if he heard you talking to me like that. Antoine looks up at Papa's portrait again, tears his eyes away with an effort. He's a big guy, but he seems almost to shrink into himself. We all know that he would never dare speak to Sophie like this in Papa's presence. And we all know that when Papa gets back, there'll be hell to pay if he hears about it.
Could we please just focus on what's important? I say, trying to gain some control.
We have a bigger problem to focus on here.
Sophie gives Antoine another venomous stare, then turns to me and nods tightly. You're right. She sits back down, and in a moment, that chilly mask is back in place. I think the most important thing is that we can't let her find out any more. We have to be ready for her when she returns.
And if she goes too far, Nicolas? I nod. Swallow. Yes, I know what to do, if it comes to it.
The concierge,
Mimi says suddenly, her voice small and hoarse. We all turn to look at her.
I saw that woman, Jess, going into the concierge's cabin. She was on her way to the gate and the concierge ran out and grabbed her. They were in there for at least 10 minutes.
She looks at all of us.
What could they have been talking about for all that time?